This all happened in February of 2019, but I still remember this weekend vividly. My friends and I are war reenactors, and in this particular event, we were reenacting the Battle of Metz that took place in late 1944. Now, reenactors don't only do battles for museums and public viewing. Oftentimes, we do what is called tactical battles, which are private and take place over multiple days. Think camping, but with more gunfire. Anyways, this event was being held in rural Texas, near Waxahachie. The property was nestled right behind a cemetery, and is owned by one of the reenactors in attendance. For the sake of privacy, this is as detailed as I will get. The property itself is old agricultural land that is surrounded by woods with a creek running through the northeastern side. There were 17 people in total, 5 portraying soldiers of the U.S. 5th Infantry Division, and 12 portraying soldiers of the 17th SS, myself included. Save for one American and one German soldier, we're all very young guys, in our late teens to early 20s. The first day consisted of arriving at the cemetery, marching into the property, and setting up camp in the woods. We dug some field works, ogled each other's guns and gear, and just generally shot the shit while waiting for the American attack. Night fell, and we all broke out food while the older guy in our group prepared a main course for dinner. We ate, and then decided that it was time for an attack. We had no idea where the Americans were set up, so we started from the entrance to the property and worked our way along the tree line. Eventually, we had a brief exchange of fire, and satisfied in our efforts to find the American camp, we retreated and left two of our men behind, Michael and Dylan, to watch the field for the rest of the night. It was a cloudy night, and for anyone who has never been outdoors at night without any kind of light source, you should know that it does get pretty dark, to the point where everything has this sort of sepia tone to it. Distant figures more than an arm's length away are hazy. Firing a gun at night will also completely blind you for a moment, since your eyes have to go from hyper-focusing to see any glimpse of light to being totally overstimulated by the light of a muzzle flare. And then you go back to struggling to see any light whatsoever. Later that night, around midnight to 1 a.m., we decided to attack the American camp head-on. However, while approaching, one of my friends, Luke, caught his foot in a rabbit hole, and the advance had to be delayed. Luke was absolutely positive that he broke his ankle. In period fashion, two of my friends huddled with Luke and prayed in Latin. Meanwhile, our NCO ordered me to go tell Dylan and Michael the news. So I walked halfway across the property alone in the pitch-black darkness, peering into the northern tree line while calling out their names. Eventually, I heard the call,
"Andy,"
and I replied with,
"Seek."
I then joined the pair in the trees. This call and response was done to verify the identity of anyone walking around in the darkness. I told the two what happened to Luke, and Dylan decided that he would go and try and help Luke off the property and re-coordinate the attack. Over the next half hour, Michael and I watched over the field that our men would have to cross to get Luke back to his car. The entire forest was dead silent, except for the faint sound of the creek. There was no wind, no birds, frogs, or anything. While Michael was whispering to me about one of his recent hunting trips, we both heard the sound of something trampling through the undergrowth. We both slowly turned on our sides to look deeper into the woods. We both heard the faint yet distinct sound of a pig breathing. Of course, we couldn't see anything because the trees were blocking the already scant light coming from the moon. After a few minutes of silence, we resumed our whispered conversation. That was when I heard what I assumed to be the sound of someone closing the bolt on a rifle. Michael and I both hushed again and heard more pig noises. And then the sounds of it trampling away along with some rattling metal noise. We both figured that it was either another reenactor or a javelina moving through some trash that someone had dumped. But after a few moments, silence fell again. Whatever it was, it ignored our calls of,
"Andy! Andy! Andy!"
About 20 minutes later, our NCO locates us and orders us to fall in line. It was now time for the second attack. We all got into position in a portion of the tree line that juts into the middle of the property. We readied ourselves. Our NCO fired a flare to illuminate our approach to the American side of the property. However, this was a bright red emergency flare, not a starlight flare, but still, it looked pretty cool. And that's all that really counts in this hobby. We all ran across the field silently. Another friend of mine, Patrick, and myself decided to run down a road that was perpendicular to the American camp, making tons of noise on the way in an effort to flank them. After a short distance, we moved into the woods towards the American positions. That's when Patrick and I saw a strange figure beside a tree. It appeared to be looking straight up. At this time, the cloud coverage above had broken up, and our visuals had improved noticeably. The figure did not respond to our calls, so Patrick raised his rifle and fired. The muzzle flash temporarily blinded us, but once our vision returned, the figure had disappeared. Patrick and I ran back down the road to regroup with the rest of our squad and to report our findings. At this point, the Americans began to taunt us and fire at us. After a short night battle, we all gathered, Americans and Germans together. We discussed Luke's injury and the lack of attendees on the American side. I made a flippant remark that none of the Americans had a 1903 Springfield. The conversation soon turned to the noises that Michael and I heard earlier. As it turns out, all of the American reenactors were asleep at the time, all the way up until Patrick fired a rifle at the mysterious figure. This was somewhat alarming to everyone, but ultimately, there was safety in numbers. We returned to our camps, Dylan switched sides, and the more hardcore of us braved the night in our camp, while the weaklings slept in their cars. Luke drove home the next morning, and has since made a full recovery. The rest of the event went smoothly, with a German attack that pushed the Americans all the way through an old orchard back up to the creek. The Americans counterattacked, that ended in the German surrender. We got some great photos, and it was all around a good time, except for Luke. This is all significant to me though, because this took place around midnight near a cemetery in the backwoods of Texas after the sounds of real and simulated human distress. At the time these two events happened, everybody was accounted for. I've done some reading, and apparently the sounds of metallic clanking are often associated with paranormal events. I know the classic sign of a skinwalker is a putrid smell, but it was about 30 degrees that night, and we were all suffering from runny, stuffed up noses. I know that javelina and feral pigs are present throughout all of Texas, but it's impossible for a pig to make the sound of a rifle bolt being worked. Pigs also don't stand on two legs, and they certainly don't disappear without a trace. To preface, I live in Central Florida. Outside of quarantine times, I usually go to my dad's house every other weekend since my parents are separated and I mainly live with my mom. For reference, I'm 20, but I'm still a dependent. My dad lives about 30 minutes in two towns over from my mom, in one of the more suburban and less clustered towns in Volusia County, with a nature preserve cutting through our backyard and stretching on for miles alongside the unconnected forests between the neighborhoods. With how my dad's house is situated, our yard is connected on all three sides, with my room right up against one of the sides. Behind the house, the only thing separating the nature preserve and our backyard is a very short and worn down barbed wire fence. With the wires being so worn down, I can comfortably climb the fence without much concern for getting hurt. On the side of the house is a huge window that looks out into the yard, which is located right behind my bed. At the time that this event took place, around last September, I only had a thin white blind over it that had a hole in it that was about eye level if I were sitting up in bed. From the outside, you could easily see when I had lights on, though I rarely ever worried about it. Last September, I was staying at my dad's place for a week instead of just a single weekend, since it was the summer, and my mom wanted me out of the house. It was around 1 or 2 a.m., and I was just drawing and listening to music when I heard some light scratching at my window. Naturally, I froze up, confused at first, but I assumed it was just a squirrel or something trying to get onto the roof, so I ignored it and went back to drawing. But I made sure not to have anything making noise in my room afterwards. About 10 minutes later, I heard what sounded much more like a knock. This definitely caught me off guard and startled me. I had no idea how to respond, and I was nervous about making too much noise or getting up to go get my dad, since I could easily be heard and, to some degree, be seen through the window. So I simply slid down below the window and laid flat on my bed. I was frightened, and I had taken to a child's mentality. If it can't see me, maybe it'll go away. After about 10 minutes from when I first heard the knocking sound, it came again, this time much more insistent. Practically paralyzed, I kept laying there, listening to this pattern of repeated knocking on my window, followed by 10 minutes of silence. This cycle went on for about an hour before I heard something scrape against the back side of the house, and it finally came to a stop. That was around 4 a.m. In the morning, I didn't think to bring it up to my dad. I hadn't seen anything, so I couldn't give him specifics to any degree for him to do something about it. The next evening, I was sitting in my bedroom. It was around 1 a.m. when it started again. I slid down as before, this time turning my bedside lamp off right away. I laid there waiting to see if it would leave, as I did the previous night. It carried out the same rhythmic pattern, though it gave up much earlier this time. I was baffled and terrified. I had no idea who or what could be doing this. My thought process at the time was that maybe it was someone trying to break in. My dad's town is somewhat known for its shadier happenings, so it certainly wasn't an unreasonable idea. The third night carried on much the same, and I was starting to go from scared to outright annoyed at this point. So on the fourth night, I grabbed a dagger from my dad's room and stood to the side of my bed, out of view of the window, leaving my light on. As was routine by now, the knocking started. But with a knife in one hand, I launched myself onto the bed, to the side where the broken part of the blinds were, and slammed my fist against the window in return, causing a loud resounding bang as the glass of the window rocked in its metal frame.
"What do you want from me?"
I yelled, and knocked furiously a few more times, before waiting for a response. The only sounds I heard for the next 10 minutes was the house settling until the knocking returned. But this time it was much stronger than before. It was similar to how I had done it.
"Were they just copying me? What the fuck?"
I thought to myself. I then chanced a sideways glance at the exposed slot of my window. There wasn't much light showing from the outside, as my room was lit by my lamp. Unless something was on the window, or right up against it, I wouldn't be able to see anything but the reflection of my own room. However, when I looked, I saw what looked like a hand retracting. It wasn't a normal-looking hand. It was very thin, and the skin was a sickly gray tone. This hand did not belong to a human. I couldn't see a face, thank God. But I saw fog on the window's corner, as if someone had been breathing against it. I was sure then and there that something was trying to intimidate me. I know that sounds like a pretty dramatic conclusion to come up with, but bear in mind, I'm the type of person to be very open and accepting of the fact that creatures of myth, folklore, and cryptids all have the possibility of existing, especially with a nature preserve right outside my window. It could easily blend in or hide there, and its behavior gets written off as an animal creeping into someone's yard. So far, it appeared to be more curious than hostile. Whatever it was simply exploring and repeating behavior it saw, or more likely heard, seeking different types of reactions. With that, I tried something a bit foolish. I tapped my nails in a pattern on the glass a few times, and then waited. After a mild pause, the tapping sound was returned. Not in the same pattern that I had tapped, but the same style of movement. I moved out of the window's view, stepping off the bed and waiting to see what would happen, if it would continue or not, like it had before. It held up its pattern of stop and go, now with the lighter tapping sound a few more times. Eventually, though, it stopped, and whatever it was left. I've since gotten some black curtains to hang up, the thick kind that completely blocks out all sunlight from getting in, and any signs of visibility from the inside. If it couldn't see anything of interest, maybe it wouldn't try to investigate anymore. This last evening with my new plan in action, I sat up as usual waiting for the knocking, tapping, whatever the thing was planning to do. Around 2 a.m., I heard a lot of movement out in the yard. Something sliding or dragging across the ground. There was also some scraping against the brick wall of the house, right up to the little ledge outside of my window. Then all fell silent. I imagined that whatever it was had lifted itself up to look inside, and was now waiting. It was a stalemate of sorts. I sat still and quiet, not daring to move or make a sound. I listened, waiting for whatever it was to make a move. After what felt like ages, I heard a drop on the ground and the sounds of footsteps across the yard. It seemed that whatever it was had given up, no longer hearing or seeing anything to provoke its interest. Whatever it had been visiting me for, and whatever it would have done if it got inside, will remain a mystery to me for years to come, I suppose. About 5 years ago, I was working an overnight security shift out of my car. I was parked down by the Everglades, just off a residential street next to some dumpsters. I was there to deter any dumpster divers from trespassing on the property, as it had been a problem for this particular neighborhood for quite some time. It was around 5 a.m., and it was still dark out, and the rain was coming down hard and heavy, with thunder booming across the sky every 5 minutes. I was relaxing in my driver's seat smoking a cigarette, with my back window open to crack. The car wasn't on, but the keys were in the ignition. I was half asleep, watching the rain run down my windshield. My shift officially ended at 5 a.m., but I was waiting for the gas station across the street to open up so I could grab a cup of coffee for the drive home. I was just sitting there spacing out, waiting for 5:30 to roll around, which was when the shop opened up. That's when I caught movement directly to my left, inches from my face. The light from a nearby lamppost outlined what appeared to be a massive snake head just outside my window. I leapt sideways across the car into the passenger seat, my heart damn near exploding, as I stared into a pair of massive reptilian eyes. Let me pause here and say that I've never seen a snake this enormous in my life. Comparing it to an anaconda would be an insult. It looked more like if an anaconda fed on some radioactive material for a year and mutated. Based on the size of its head alone, I imagine this thing could have coiled itself around my car and crushed it with me inside. The massive head disappeared under my car, and as soon as it did, I felt the front side of my vehicle slightly rise up. I was so terrified in that moment that I didn't know what was happening. But looking back, I think the snake's massive body was actually lifting my car as it moved beneath it. My car was dragged sideways for a few feet before the front tire slammed back onto the ground. I looked up, and through the pelting rain, I saw what appeared to be one of the dumpsters moving to the side. Fuck this, I shouted, and I forced myself back into the driver's seat, turned on the ignition, and floored it out of there. There was no need for a caffeine boost now. I know that this account is going to be hard to believe. If someone told me this story, I wouldn't believe them either, which is exactly why I left it out of my report. And technically, I was off the clock. But nevertheless, I know what I saw, and take my word for what it's worth. Somewhere out in the Everglades lurks one of the biggest snakes on this planet.
There's always a reason.